he would make throws with Scott that he's not smart. You know?
I was just going to say. Bring out,
yeah.
There you go. Well,
it's blue.
It's blue. Yeah, it's blue.
Cutting edge. All right, let's put something on it. So we have a minimal amount of classes, unfortunately, that we'll be able to spend together. So the chosen sefer was Shmuel Bet, Samuel 2. Really is no such thing as Samuel 2. Shmuel is really only one sefer. It was just broken into two to make it easier. But when you count the 24 Sfarim and Tanakh, Shmuel is only one of them. There is an old joke that goes around. In Israel, there happens to be two Kever Shmuels, two graves of Samuel. The standard line is why? The answer is, well, one's for Shmuel Aleph and the other's for Shmuel Bet. Right? That's not the best answer there is. Right? Make a note of that. Tell him I said so. So, therefore, we only get to do a few prakim, so I wanted to focus tonight on Perek Zayin. Why Perek Zayin? Why not? That's one reason. Another reason. Can't argue with that, can you? Another reason beyond that is because that is the perek where David HaMelech comes up with the idea that he should build the Beis HaMikdash. This is, of course, a very seasonal topic, as tonight is Rosh Chodesh Av. We begin the 9 days and the ultimate destruction of the temple. This is the real, true beginning of the temple. Just a little bit of history. Shmuel, the major separation between Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet is who is the king. Through basically the entirety of Shmuel Aleph, at least from the point that we have kings, Shaul is the king, and for the second half of the Sefer, David is already promised that he's going to be the king. Shaul is, shall we say, somewhat resistant to the idea, and the interplay between David and Shaul takes up basically the second half of Shmuel Aleph. Shaul dies at the end of Shmuel Aleph, so Shmuel Bet is the sefer where David HaMelech is the king, and he will be the king for basically the entirety of the sefer. He will die in the first perek of Melachim. Don't want to ruin the ending for anyone. Yes?
I know that David is anointed in kind of, I don't want to say in secret, but in a quiet, off the...
You can say in secret, that's okay.
Know,
we're among friends.
It doesn't seem that it's in secret. It just, so I want to know, I don't have a clear sense of when Saul knows that he's been anointed.
Saul knows that he's been appointed before he gets appointed. If you look at I think around the 15th chapter or so, it is that point when Saul fails to wipe out Amalek.
Right.
And Shmuel, the Navi, comes to him and says the party's over.
Right.
And afterwards, David is anointed.
But he doesn't know that it's David.
He does not know that it's David, but he quickly figures it out.
Uh-huh.
When Shmuel actually goes to anoint him, using the word secret is not a bad choice of words, because Shmuel is actually nervous to go, because he's afraid that if Shaul finds out about this, he'll kill him.
Right.
Right. So therefore he makes an excuse for going out there.
Okay.
So David is the king of Shmuel Bet, but that doesn't start off too smoothly either, because there is a concurrent king at the beginning when the descendants of Shaul, Ishbosheth, is the king at the beginning of Shmuel Bet. That goes on for a few prakim. Now, finally, the coast is clear. David HaMelech is the king. At this point, what does David do? So let's start at the beginning. Vayehi ki yoshav hamelech beveso, v'adonai hiniyachol misaviv mikol oivav. And it came to the point where David is now sitting comfortably in his house, and God has vanquished all of his enemies. Vayomar HaMelech al Nasan HaNavi, Re'eno Anochi Yoshe Beves HaRazim, V'Aron HaElohim Yoshe B'Socha Yiriyah. He turns to the prophet Nathan and says to him, Nathan was known as Nasan, not as Noach. He says to him, what? Crazy parents he had. And he says to him, this isn't proper. Here I am sitting in a palace made of cedar, while the ark is sitting still in a tent. It's not proper that I, a man, should be sitting in a proper house, while the ark does not have a proper house. What does Nosson answer? Yomer Nosson El Hamelech Kol Asher Bilvavcha Lech Asei Ki Adonai Imach. Nosson says to the king, you're right, do what you want to do. Now, this was actually quite sensible at this point. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is number one on the Makaroshi, it says, Tanya Biyosi Omer Shlosh Mitzvos Nistavli Sobel Knisosim La'aretz. When the Jews crossed over the Jordan, there were three mitzvahs which became incumbent upon them. Lahan lehem melech, lahachris zaru shalamolik, v'livnos lehem beis bechira. One, they had to appoint a king. They did not have a king when they were in the desert. Two, they had to wipe out Amalek. Third, and finally, they had to, when that is done, they had to build a beis hamikdash. Now, the Gemara says, just because we listed it off in that order doesn't mean that it is the proper order. What is the proper order? V'en yodea ezuhem t'chila. So I know which should be first. And therefore, it brings several proof texts that the order is the correct order. First, you have a king. The king wipes out Amalek, and then he builds the beis hamikdash. So where are we still holding now? So again, we did not have a king until the time of Shaul. How long was Shaul's entire
reign?
Anybody?
2 years.
That is correct. 1 point for the young fellow in the blue shirt.
Yeah.
Right? He is a king for only 2 years. As part of those 2 years, right around in, towards the end of the first year, he has the war with Amalek. Right? So therefore, right, over the next year, there's no real calm. This is the first point, really, where there is a possibility of building the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, David says what is proper at this point is to build the Beis HaMikdash.
Now, it seems from the Pasuk that he does have to wait till all the Oivim are not dead. In other words, the answer is...
So again, you could read it that way, or you could read it, well, now that he has the time to think. Right? Yeah. Right? It doesn't have to be because this could just be a statement. Okay. Finally, he's done with all the challenges to his kingdom. He's now officially the king, and now he could start doing it. If you just read the Gemara of the Sanhedrin, it reads it the way that you read it, though. Even though that does not mukhav from Shav. V'chein b'David hu omer v'hi ki yosha David v'veso v'hei shem heiniach lo misaviv. And then it says, V'yom ha-melech ha-noson ha-navi reina anochi yoshev v'veso ha-rozim. So, that is the indication. In fact, Nosson's original advice is not the best advice. Vayhi b'layla ahu, vayhi d'var Adonai el Nosson leimor. And it was that night, Pasuk Dalet, and God comes to Nosson and says as follows, Lech v'amarte el avdi el dovin, ko amar Adonai ha'atosiv ne'li v'ayis l'shifti. So, Dovi, that I understand that you'd like to build me a house. Because I obviously God, we don't talk about God living any place, technically, right? God is beyond space. However, God's representation in the Ark and the tablets have not had a place to rest, a true home up until this point. Rather, they've been constantly either in the Mishkan when they were in the desert or now in Shiloh, etc., they were intense. B'chol asher yisalachti b'chol b'nei Yisrael ha-davar di'barti es achad shifte Yisrael asher tzivisi l'iros es ami es Yisrael emor lo v'nisem li beis ha-rozim. And in fact, I was not exactly happy about the fact that you haven't taken care of this beforehand. So God tells Nosson, pass along the following message to David HaMelech. Please tell David, I have taken you from the backwaters, I've taken you from being a shepherd, I've now made you the king of Israel. And I, in fact, have vanquished all your enemies, and I have, of course, given you a great name among the other great people. And I guarantee you at this point you're not going to have any more problems. ומן היום אשר ציוויתי שופטים על עם ישראל והנחתי רוחו מכל אויביך ויגיד רוחו אדוני כי ויס יעשה רוחו אדוני. And I'm telling you that from here on you're going to have a house. What do you mean he's going to have a house? The house is going to be called? No. David's going to have a house. Right? Based David. Right? The house of David, which is ultimately the house that the kingdom will always come from. The Messiah will eventually be a descendant of David. This is where the guarantee comes. You got it.
So Bayit here means a family.
What?
Bayit here means your family. Dynasty.
Right. Again, a dynasty is probably a better word. Yeah. As we refer to it as based David. And you're going to die. You're going to live a complete life. You're going to pass on. You're going to have a son. He will also have a strong kingdom. He will build the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, not you. אני ירא רעב, והוא ירא רבין, אשר באבוס ובאבך הכתיב, ושבע אנשים בנגי בני אדם. And I will treat him like a father, etc. We will get back to this. So,
who's talking now? Is this God still to the prophet?
God to the prophet. That's what we're having here. Right? So the prophet tells David, it's a good idea. God tells the prophet, wrong. It's a good idea, but it's not for now. Tell David it's nothing personal. Right? I've always loved him. He's doing a great job. I'll continue to love him. However, now is not the time. So. Okay. Very, very subtle. So. What is missing from here, for starters, is why. Why couldn't David build the Beis HaMikdash? It was his idea. Right? So notably missing from here is the why. That's one thing to discuss. Also, it is worth looking at the various psukim to get an idea of what was going on here. So again, we'll get some help from the Makoros here to get a more richer understanding of what we're coming across here. Starting with the Sifrei and Devarim.
Are you surprised at all that Natan could speak not from God? Sometimes he speaks out of his own dot, and then sometimes doesn't a Navi have to always speak in God's name? Or
when he's Naviing, right?
Sometimes he can just give a psak or give advice without.
Right. Again, he can't say, thus says the Lord. Right. If he says, thus says the Lord, it may be the Lord is thus saying it.
Right.
But Nevi'im were great men unto their, and great women, unto their own rights. So, the Sifrei was...
He also had a probably, we don't know necessarily why the reason was that he couldn't do it, but obviously he also probably had a reason why he thought that it was probably okay.
Right, I mean, if I was Nasan Anavi, and I hadn't read this, I would probably say the same thing. There's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. You would like to build a Beis HaMikdash.
Let's do it.
Why not? Which is interesting, because we still have that question. Why not? The Sifrei discusses why Nasan's involved in this at all. What was the potential that why would the answer be anything but? David has this idea. There's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. He has the ability to do it, and he has the desire to do it. So what was the question here? Sifrei comes, Ki v'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shevteichem. It's the pasuk in the Devarim referring to the, I think, Parshas Re'eh, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Darsh al pi Navi. That when you decide to build the Beis HaMikdash, there has to be a Navi involved. You might think that the Navi has to take the initial step, that we shouldn't try to build a Beis HaMikdash until the Navi comes forward. Talmud Lomar, L'shichno Sidrashu. No, you have to desire it yourself. uvaso shama. Darush motzav achakach yomar chon navi. First, the way it works is the proper way to build the Beis HaMikdash is the people have to have desire on their own, and then they have to get the approval of the Navi. Where do we see that from? Obviously, etc., etc. What happened? David here came on the idea himself and then approached the Navi. Now, that happens to be something that's very important. A little historical fact. Back around almost 200 years ago, there's a fellow named Zvi Hirsch Kalischer. You ever hear of Zvi Hirsch Kalischer? Zvi Hirsch Kalischer is best known now that the Moshav Tirat Zvi was named after him. The people that sent us all the excellent deli, that was named after him. That's why he's the Zvi of Tirat Zvi. And he came up with this brilliant idea. He was living in Poland. He was a great Zionist. And he very much wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he came up with this idea that Moses Mendelssohn, he's got a lot of money. Why doesn't he just buy the Temple Mount?
Montefiore,
thank you. Fat Nelson didn't have any money. Thanks for the correction. And why don't we just build the Beis HaMikdash? So he sent out this suggestion to many rabbis at the time, and they all responded in kind, why, or largely, why not? That's not a good idea. Nobody pointed out, because I think nobody was in Israel, that the Temple Mount had something on it already and it wasn't necessarily for sale. So, you know, there was that minor issue that no one had dealt with.
Details. But
Details. Right. No, but now that I see that they have the Dome of the Rock on down Alameda by the JCC, could be they would just settle for that. But those of you in Wayu Torah land, you don't understand. So, among the reasons, in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, there are many things that have to be taken care of. For example, you need tcheles, right? That's an issue. You need to have people that are proven to be Kohanim, right? There are many more minor issues that have to be taken care of. A more major issue is this, right? The Sifrei. This Sifrei in particular says that in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, it has to be approved by a Navi. So even if we can prove what tcheles is, and we can find exactly where the Mizbeach is supposed to go, and we can come up with a red cow and all the various other issues, and we can prove who's a Kohen, etc. We still have this minor issue of a Navi, which we see from here. So in fact, I believe it was the Beis Halevi in his response writes, whatever you're going to do is all fine and dandy, but you need to come up with a Navi based on this. We don't have any proven Naviim at this point.
So how come the Sifrei doesn't use the pasuk related to...
So we'll discuss that. Now, you have to remember, Shmuel, as in many of the Nevi'im Rishonim, is repeated in other places. Just to give an example, a parak of Shmuel Bet that is repeated practically word for word in Tehillim will be Shiras David in Pasuk Parak Chaf Aleph, I think. Turn to Parak Chaf Beis. Close. There is a entire parak which is Shiras David toward the end of his life. If you just look at the last pasuk in Parakhov Beis, it's a famous one. Migdol Yeshua Smalko v'yaseches limshicho l'davu l'zaro adoram. Now, we say that pasuk when?
Benching.
In benching. When I'm benching?
At the end.
What?
At the end. Oh, on Shabbos.
We only say it on Shabbos and Yom Tov because during the week we say Magdil. Why do we say Magdil? The pasuk says Migdol. What? Because the same parak appears in Tehillim. It says Magdil then, right? So that's the question. So why? When there are interesting reasons given, but here's an example of a parak that appears entirely elsewhere. Similarly, as we'll see, this parak appears as well in Divrei Hayomim. In Chronicles, you get a basic repeat. We'll see what minor changes of what we have here as well. So the fact that the Medrash quotes from one place or the other doesn't necessarily prove anything. These things were just written over several times. So it's a different proof text, but it's the same story. So that's point number one, right? So it happens to be a very practical point that you learn from here that a Navi is necessary in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. I was talking to a fellow not long ago, a very big Talmud Chacham and an original thinker, so he said he's working on, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, etc. So I said to him, how can we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash if we don't have a Navi? So he said, well, he doesn't want to build the third base of Mikdash, he'd like to build the second base of Mikdash. So I said, come again, how's that going to happen? So he said, you have to, that in order to make a new base of Mikdash, we need a Navi. However, you know, at the time of Herod, there was a major renovation of the base of Mikdash. And basically they tore it down entirely and they rebuilt it. Now, was that the third base of Mikdash? So the answer is no. It was a refurbishment of the second base of Mikdash. Even though it was missing for some time, still...
You mean while it's in construction?
Right. It was a teardown.
Okay.
Right. So...
But did they stop the Korban Tamid? I mean, did they stop the services?
I don't think.
During
what?
That time?
No, but there
was a continuous avoda going on.
Right, it was a continuous avoda, but the building was basically, the mezbech was there without a building at some point. Right, so he says, and so too, we've also been doing some renovations on our Beis HaMikdash. It's been down for the last 2,000 years or so. We've had some issues with permits and what have you not, you know.
And some squatter issues as well.
Right, squatter, you know, this is the way things work. You know, getting tenants out can be difficult, you know. So based on that, there are those who support the idea that we should build the second Beis HaMikdash again, and that would avoid the Navi issue. I remember I mentioned this to Rabbi Shachter one time. He said, I don't think I understood a word you just said. You can't build a second base of Mikdash. It's been 2,000 years. That's a valid point. I'll give him that one.
You've got the same walls, so that helps.
What?
You've got the walls already, so.
Wrong walls.
Just filling in the
right, wrong walls.
Wrong walls, though. You know, we have the outer walls. We don't have the actual base of Mikdash walls anymore. Unless... it's under there still, and they've been throwing it out.
It also seems, just a different point, it also seems that what Hashem is telling Nasan is that there were points in time where it was theoretically possible to build the Beis HaMikdash before David, right?
Well, let's
say... he talking to about that,
so,
that he mentioned to other readers that...
Right, so we'll discuss that. The fact that he seems to be indicating at one point, well, what took you so long? Right, which indicates it should have been done earlier. So we will deal with that. Another point, not necessarily related to this, but an important note, is that the Medrash uses this as a proof that even though David does not get an opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that he wanted to do it is important. Right, looking at number 3, Yesh adam machashiv lasos aveir v'lo aso, v'akosh baruch hu ein kos v'lo v'ashi yaseno. V'machashiv lasos mitzvah v'nernas v'lo aso, v'akosh baruch hu kosu v'lov k'iru aso. The Medrash says if somebody wants to do a sin, and he's unsuccessful in sinning, he's off the hook. However, if someone wants to do a mitzvah, if someone wants to do a good deed, and he is unsuccessful, he gets credit for trying. Right? Close counts now in horseshoes, hand grenades, and mitzvahs. Those are keeping score at home.
I'm curious why the issue about a Navi is an issue since Natan is there. I mean,
no, I'm talking about today.
I understand today.
Right.
But,
so yeah, no, it's not an issue at that point.
Got it.
Right. But okay. The fact that David felt it necessary to go to Natan indicates that he had to, and it indicates that it is a prerequisite for the building of a temple.
Got it.
And that affects us to this day. So how do you know this? Minayin Avromed Midovit Shayim Etzar Livnos Beis Hamikdash Nemor Zachor Hashem LaDavid Eskol Anoso Hashem Nishba Hashem Im Avo Baor Beisi Revuhu BaAni Achinosi etc. etc. So again, he quotes from Tehillim. Then he quotes as well from our Pesukim. V'chein Hu Omer Vayi Ki Yoshav Hamelach Beveso Hashem Iniachu Misaviv Hisker Maharya B'Libo V'Omer Reina Anochi Yoshev Beveis Harozen V'Aron Elokim Yoshev B'Solcha Ariyah. So he quotes all of this. Ultimately, after bringing all the different ones, you'll see he has Tehillim here, he has Shmuel here, he has Divrei Hayamim here. It all comes down. And what happens? Skipping to three lines to the bottom for the sake of brevity. What does it say? It says, Al Shimcha Ani Kosvam. God says, when I talk about the Beis HaMikdash, even though you did not build it, It is in your name. You get credit for it. Shenemar Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. LeShlomo Ein Omer El LeDavid. LaMasha Chasha B'Livo Livnoso Hu Lomdo Kol Mishem Achshev Rasos Mitzvah Af Al Pi Shenenas V'Osa Kosh Baruch Hu Malav Kilo Osa. David wanted to do the mitzvah. Right, he was, God prevented him from doing the mitzvahs. Still, he gets credit as if he did.
He was collecting materials and all of that. He was,
as we will see, violence. We will see. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss if that was proper or not.
Okay.
But obviously, he does whatever is in his power to try to build the base of Mikdash. And even though he doesn't do it successfully, he gets credit for it. Similarly to this, interesting. So word gets out, the Gemara tells us, that the people of Israel know that as long as David's alive, we're not getting a Beis HaMikdash. Right? So it's funny, in yeshiva, so we have donors and we appreciate them. Sometimes people leave us money in their wills. So I remember one time they had me meeting with one of our donors, and I think we were in the will for $5 million or so as a bequest. So the person said to me, try to be nice to them. I said, nice to them? I should throw them off a bridge. Come on. So the same, it wasn't just me. This idea goes back to the time of David HaMelech. If you look at the Gemara Makkos talks about the historical importance of this. My diksiv, Shira Malchus David Samachti Ba'omrim Li Beis Hashem Melech. When the Shira Malchus is, it says, David says, I'm happy when people say to me, we want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So what did that? Amr David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, Shemati Bnei Adam Shehu Omrim Mata Yamu Zaken Zev Yavo Shalom Beno Vivna Beis HaBechir V'Nal Regal. People said, when's this guy finally going to go? So Shlomo can take over, and we can start being mekayim in the midst of a little regal. Enough already. It's been nice. Out with the old, in with the new. V'samachti. David said it made me happy. Amo akarsh bachu, ki tov yom mechatzerecha me'elof. Tov yom echa shata osik b'tor lefanai me'elof oros she'asid Shlomo bincha rakiv lefanai al gavei mezbeach. God says, don't think I'm so happy. You should realize, as important as karbanos are, the Torah learning that you are doing is more important. One day of your Torah learning is better than 1,000 karbanos that we're going to get. You stay where you are. You do what you're supposed to do. I'm good. So that is the Gemara. That ultimately, this became well known. And David, in a great desire, Gosh Baruch Hu, so let's keep everything in perspective. And, you know, obviously we all want the Beis HaMikdash to be built as we enter the 9 days. But one should realize that there's plenty of Judaism without it as well. Right? It doesn't mean we're not lacking, but it also doesn't mean it's all over. The Medrash actually expands on this a little bit. If you look at the Medrash, it says, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, B'shashem Allah Kosh Baruch Hu Nosan, Leif Amartel David, Avdi, Ko Amar Hashem, Lo Ata Tivne Li Habayis Reshevas, Ki Im Yashavti Bevayis Min Hayom Asher Halisa Es Yisroel, Ada Yom Azeh Ve'ahiyah, Mishalak el mishkan b'chol sedot. Right, this is the quote note from Divrei Hayamim this time. Same idea though, right? Same, obviously referring to the same episode. Chol mishayim mevakish lekalos David, mahu oseh hayomer lo tov shivna abayis. Anybody wanted to curse David would say, ah, wouldn't it be nice to have a base of mikdash these days? Teilocha, ma David, omer. So what did David say when he heard people saying this? So machti b'omim li beis Hashem nelech. Makes me happy to hear that. Mevakshim li devarim lomar she'ein atah boner. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayecha she'achas mechecha ein ani mechaser. He says, don't you worry about people cursing you. You're not going to live a second less than you were supposed to. Minayin? How do you know? She'nemar ki yomu yomecha v'shachafta imavosecha himosi yisarecha acharecha she'yetze mimeyecha v'achinosi yasmamorachdom. So if you look at the pasuk we said, when before he says that Shlomo is going to take over, he said, you are going to live your complete life. Why does he have to say that? He said, to realize that even if people curse you, it's not going to make a difference. You are going to live the entirety of your life. How many years did David live?
70.
And how many was he supposed to live?
100.
Zero.
Yep.
Well,
wasn't he given 70 years?
Correct, but he was given 70, correct. He lived the entirety, right? He was He's supposed to live zero. However, he got a donation from
Adam.
Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon was supposed to live to be
9,000.
And he only lived to be
930.
Because the other 70 years he gave to
David.
Right, so David was supposed to live 70, and he lived exactly 70. Did not die any earlier because people were cursing him. That whole story is a little interesting. So what does it mean? They showed him a reason that supposed to be, there's going to be someone who's going to be David, and he's going to live to be zero. What do you mean he's going to live to be zero? Huh? Smarty pants? Now what are you going to say? Right, so that's not for now. It's worth considering.
He says v'im b'gvorot shmonim shana. He's just theoretically talking about an 80.
Other people, right? Yemeshma same shivim shana. That was him.
Yeah.
Someone gets more than that, but he was down for 70, and that's it. It's interesting. A lot of people say, and if Adam Arishon would live to be 920, he couldn't have offered him 80. You know, I'm not complaining, but you know. Once you get into the 900s and all, you know, if you're not going to be number one, if Mr. Shell is still going to have the 969, if you're willing to give that up, you know, give the guy a 120, will you? Dump it in milk. Yeah. I remember years ago, so when the Reichmans sold the World Financial Center, they made $1 billion. And they took $100 million as miser, and I think they were gave to Rav Shach to give out as tzedakah. So people were very impressed at the time. I was of the opinion, when you make $1 billion, like, probably give chomesh. If you give 20%, I wouldn't kill you either, big guy. You know, same idea, you know? Yeah, it's very nice to give $100 million, but you know. Yeah, I think that's what happened. That was 4-year salary for me, actually. But I've gotten raised since then. So again, we have the consequence of this decision that people were cursing David that he should die, and David himself took it quite well, and God guaranteed him, don't worry about it, this isn't going to affect you. Interesting, we had mentioned before, and we'll pick up on it a little bit, what is the idea of a Beis Hashem? God lives there. God doesn't live anywhere. You know where he lives? Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, over there, everywhere. That's where he can be found. Right? So this would seem to be a stira to Uncle Maishi. How do we answer that? Ooh, that's a hard one. Eliyahu Rabbah comments, number 6. Not necessarily directly on the Uncle Maishi issue, but related. Varmartel Avdi David. Why is this considered the house of God? He says, this is the house of God because that's where the karbonos are brought. The karbonos, kivayachol, you can imagine such a thing as this, it's the food of God. When we feed God, again, we're not literally feeding God, but we are providing to God, God has a certain amount of gratitude. And so too, this is what we should learn for ourselves. If someone feeds you, even if you've already been to a place where you've had many, many hamburgers, hot dogs, and chicken, but they give you chips afterwards, you know, even if you eat in the Suda Shlomo V'Shaito,
know
that
you... Thursday
what?
It'll be better Thursday.
Okay. Make a note. Right? So again, that is why it's referred to Beis Hashem. Not he actually lives there, but rather that's where the food comes from. Okay.
Is that a good answer? I mean, that's a very superficial type of thing. I mean, what does that mean? Well, Uncle Moshe's question was a better answer,
don't you think? Right. So, I mean... It's a very basic question. The very excellent, what is a Beis HaMikdash?
Right.
That's the most basic question here. It's a place where God lives. So what does that mean? So again, I guess you say some more mnemonics here. This is, you know, okay, the words, what it means is this.
This is where we...
This does not answer the question, this does not answer the question, why do we need it? Which is, I think, the real question that you're getting at. So that's probably beyond the pale here. But if you're interested, I will point you to the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Truma, where we first meet the concept of Mishkan or the like, where he discusses it. The Rambam, both quoting the Ramban, where they talk about what we hope to gain from this. Right, but this is just a use here, which referred to here as in one way, the Medrash picks up on that. If you remember, how does God say, I found you? So I found you, I pulled you from the flocks of sheep. And you used to be a shepherd, you used to be a nobody. Right? You know, I found you, I brought you to Hollywood, now you're a star. More or less. So the fact that he says, I found you from the sheep, it's not just a statement of what he was doing, but the Medrash famously here points out that this was a purpose. This was the reason why he did it, why he was chosen. Medrash tells us a story. Everybody likes stories. I like stories. Yivchanu b'nei Adam, v'mi bochim l'tzadik, sh'nemar Hashem tzadik yibochim. God checks out for tzadikim. Merhu bochno, how does God check for tzadikim? B'marei tzon. He checks them out as when they are shepherds. Badaku David b'tzon motzaroa yofem. Right? He checked out David. He saw that he was a fine shepherd. What does that mean, he was a fine shepherd? Mam chalo'os tzon kamo v'yikalei ha'geshem. Hayamonei ha'gadolim ibnei ha'katanim. Hayamotzei ha'katanim liroos kadei shi'yiru ha'esev harab. What would he do when he brought out the flock of sheep? He would hold back the bigger ones and let the little ones go first. Why? Kadei shi'yiru ha'esev harab. In order that they be able to eat the soft grass. Right, the older ones have the ability to eat the soft and the hard grass. If they would go first, they would eat the soft grass, and the young ones would not be able to eat anything. Therefore, the young ones got to go first in order that all sheep would have what to eat. Afterwards, he would let the older ones, right, the senior citizens among the sheep, so they can eat the next best. Then they would take the young men, because they could eat anything. To this day, we see that is true. Amar Akash Bachu, Mi Yodeh Liros Hatzon Ish Lefikocho Yavo Yerba'ami. It's a person who knows to tend to sheep in a way that each individual sheep gets individual attention. That's the type of person that should be leading my flock, meaning should be leading the Jewish people. Ha'ud D'Ksiv Me'achar Alos Hevi Liros B'Yakov Amo. Right? As it says in Tillim, after he did this job, he was able to be the shepherd for the house of Jacob, the nation of Jacob. Similarly, Avaf Moshe lo bachnu akash baruch lo b'tzon. As we know, more famously, Moshe Rabbeinu was tested through the sheep. Amru Rabbeinu, k'shoy Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'shom ro etzon shel Yisro, b'midbar borach mimenu gadi. A young lamb ran away. Ratz achar v'ashi gil chasis, kem she gil chasis nizdamu lo brecher shel mayim. And it ran and it ran until it found a brook of water. I didn't know you were running because you were thirsty. You must be tired. Moshe picks up the lamb and carries it back on his shoulder so he shouldn't have to walk. You have the proper mercy to be a shepherd of men's sheep. So the idea, the fact that God mentions here that David was a shepherd is not just a historical fact, but because he was a shepherd in a proper way, because he showed the ability to have compassion, that's what led him to being, God is saying, that's what led you to be the king of Israel. Another interesting point, just on the pasuk, I will raise you like the Shem Gedolim. The Gemara comments in Pesachim, Tani Rabbi Yosef, Zeh Sha'omim Magen David. Just like we have Magen Avraham in Shemona Esrei, we also say Magen David, which actually became much more popular over history. This is where the Magen David comes from. The Magen David. That God says, I'm going to raise you to the level of the fathers. Another quick note, also not on point, but related to the pasuk. The Gemara in Brachos says that v'samti mokom la'amir Yisrael, that I'm going to give them a place in the tatu v'shachin tachtov, that I'm ultimately going to pick a place to pray. What does that mean? That means that a person has to have a set place when he prays. The fact that God sees it important to have a set place for the Beis HaMikdash, so too when a person prays on a daily basis, it should be in the same place. Good. Those are all interesting points. Now let's get back to the main story. The main story is that God turns to Nelson and says, David's not doing it. Why not? If you look at the version of this story in Divrei Hayamim, it gives the answer. If you look at number 10, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Eli Dvar Hashem Leimor Dam Lo Rav Shafachto Melchomos Gedolos Asiso Lo Tzivne Bayis Rishmi Ki Dam Hem Rabim Shafachto Arzu Lefanai." Why not? Because you have killed many people. Somebody who has killed cannot build the Beis Hamikdash. Nothing personal. What?
But didn't
Shlomo wasn't much of a warrior. David, he was a warrior. Shlomo, he was living large. It's good to be Shlomo.
He killed David's enemies, but he didn't kill in war.
Well, not with his hands, he didn't. Right, he delegated.
Right.
Worked out well for him. Right, so as opposed to David, who was a warrior.
Hands-on.
Very hands-on. And we say that in a positive way.
Yeah.
Right? So again, if we think of, for example, when we build the Beis HaMikdash, the stones cannot be hewn with metal. Why not?
Well,
metal used to kill, right? Killing stays away. Therefore, you have to figure out some other way. Use worms, whatever you can do, to split the stones, because anything that is involved with killing can't be involved in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, nothing personal, David. You did the right thing. However, you cannot do it. Sorry. Not your fault, but it is what it is. It's interesting. In modern days, we have a question somewhat like this. If a Kohen kills, he's not allowed to duchen. He can't do Birchat Kohanim. What if the Kohen is a member of the Israeli army, and he shoots one of the enemy? So there's a disagreement. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that he can't do Birchas Kohanim for the rest of his life either. Not that he did the wrong thing. He did absolutely what he was supposed to do. As we know, the Rav was a religious Zionist and considered it as a necessary part of modern Orthodoxy. However, even though he did the right thing, still, sorry. I think the majority of opinions happen to disagree on that case. In case this comes up practically, it never should. People shouldn't have to kill people. But according to Divrei Hayamim, that's the idea. Sorry, David, you did the right thing. However, that means you can't do this. That is the approach of Divrei Hayamim. Interesting, you would think, well, that should be the end of it. The pasuk says one way, that should probably be the end of the discussion. Still, the Medrash, other ideas crop up, largely because no mention is given, reason is given here. If you look at the Yalkut Shmoni, Kosov Echor ben ha'atah tivne libayis. Kosov Echor omer lo atah tivne libayis. One point indicates that you should do it, and one point indicates that you shouldn't do it. Hechani mekayim shnei mekros halol. How can they live together? Elo lo atah tivne she'en atah bona osa. Ha'atah tivne she'bincha bona osa. You're not going to build it, but it will be built through your son. So you'll sort of do it. Atah yigdam to kvodcho l'kvodi she'mereishis. Because David, you made a mistake. What's your mistake? David says, look at this. I'm living in this great palace, and I feel bad because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash is saying, you blew it. What took you so long to realize it? Right? You should have said, first I got to build myself a Beis HaMikdash. Then I'll build myself a palace. And in fact, if you look at Malachim, that's what happens. First, Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash, and then he gets on to building his palace. So according to the Medrash, the reason that David doesn't get to build the Beis HaMikdash is not because of his profession of warrior, whereas because that even though, yes, it's nice that you noticed it real eventually, but you blew it. So that's the second opinion. The Yalkut Shmoni in Rus has yet a third opinion. Rus says to Boaz, "Em sochein be'enecha adi ki nicham tani. Ma nechama? Nechama we osed al ash gavos le gedura. Vasir bonecha liyos manhigim es Yisrael. V'asida at lilvosh keser malchus. Boaz says to Rus, you're eventually going to have sons, I'll be leaders in Israel, and eventually you will wear a crown. When does that happen? So interestingly, Rus maintains a seat next to the throne of anybody? Shlomo. That's pretty impressive, because Shlomo is her. Correct. Too great. Stop there. Right. Great-great-grandson. She is there. She is the queen, great-great-grandmother. I don't think we have any of those. Great-great-mom. And she has the ability to be around for that. She said, you're going to be a va'afal pij. She'at roa atzmech. She'at aniya. Even though you see yourself as poor. Asi litzit mechok mishemakdish mea kikari kes zav. There's somebody who's going to donate 100 talents of gold. Shneamar v'neiba ani hachi nosi v'chi ani makdish kol karmalol v'shal zav v'kesef. Can a poor person really donate all that? El b'yom shor David es Goliath. When David kills Goliath, hishrichu alav b'nosor kol kesef v'zav hazeh. They threw all of this gold and silver to him out of appreciation. What did he do? V'gdisha l'beis hamikdash. He gave it over, said this money will be set aside for when we build the beis hamikdash. Ukshebo Rav. So this all sounds very good at this point. Good guy, that David. However, however, when there was a famine, Shaloshanim, Bikshu mimenu Yisrael litein, v'lo rotzo litein l'hem kum. There was a famine, and they said, listen, David, you've got this 100 talents of gold. That's a lot. A talent of gold is, I think, approximately 57 kilograms of gold. Okay? That's a lot of gold. At current prices, that would be a lot of money. 100 of them. So obviously they wanted a bailout. Wanted him to infuse some capital into the economy.
Stimulus
to help build jobs. What did he do? They didn't want to give it. Sorry, this is the Beis HaMikdash money. We're not going to crack the piggy bank for this. God says you blew it. Even though the money was at the base of Mikdash, lives were on the line, you should have given the money to those people. Because you didn't, you don't get to build the base of Mikdash, Shlomo gets to build it.
Isn't that after this?
What?
Isn't the famine after this? After the seventh
prayer? Oh, that's a good question. So the famine doesn't happen until late in the Melucha. This isn't the beginning of the Melucha. So how could it be?
Rambam's opinion, not in order.
So, no. This is, Ein Mukta Melucha, but Torah probably does not apply here. This probably isn't chronological order. So, one would have to say, or at least one could answer, and I'll explain why this is a weak answer, that ultimately, God says, I realize that don't get carried away. It's not going to work out for you. I see in the future you're going to blow it. Now, that's problematic because it undermines the concept of free will. On the other hand, that goes to the very basic philosophical question of how do you have God being all-knowing and there be free will? So that's probably a little bit beyond the scope of this Perek and Navi, but that's a very good point, that being said. So we have three approaches as to why not. For some reason, the Navi does not give an answer here. Other answers are put up. Let's get back and read a little Navi. It's been a while since we've been there. So going back to, we're at the Pasuk Yudalad, I believe. Again, this is still God speaking to Nelson. A little bit more. Ani ela lo'ob, bu yeli revein, asher baha avosu, lo'chachtiv, b'shevet ad-noshim, v'nigiv ne'odom. And I will treat him like a son, and I will keep him on the straight and narrow. I will not spare the rod. V'chazdi lo yosur mimenu kasher ha-sirosi me'im sha'ol asher ha-sirosi milfanecha. And I will be with him, not like Sha'ol, who I eventually left him with you, which Shlomo, I will be with you all the time. V'ne'amad beisro mamrachto ad olam lefanecha kisacha yenachon ad olam. And your line, your dynasty, will go on forever. And as is the tradition, that the Messiah will again be a descendant of David HaMelech. Kachol advim ha'elo, kachol ha'achizayon ha'yuzeh, kein diber nosan el David. Pasuk Yizayin, the message gets delivered. What's David's reaction? Vayavo ha'melech David v'yeshel v'fnei Adonai v'yomer, mi anochi Adonai Elohim mi besi ki evias havi osani ad halom. God, how do I deserve this? Right? He sits down, he says, I'm overwhelmed. This sitting down is seen as a halachically relevant action. If you look at the Gemara in Yuma, it also appears in Sota, and it also appears in number 13 of the sheets in front of you. Ein yeshiva ba'azor el malchei beis David bilvad. That in general, in the courtyard in front of the Beis HaMikdash, people are not allowed to sit. The only exception being a king from the house of David. It's interesting, this law, it seems sort of arcane, irrelevant, it's cute, it's minor. It ends up being historically very important. Because after, who's the king after Shlomo? Rehoboam. And? The guy rhymes with Rehoboam and Yerovam, right? There is a split, right? Right? One fellow takes Yehuda, the other takes the rest. And in fact, when Yerovam, who is the one who breaks off, he goes and he builds a competing Beis HaMikdash. He sets up a Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah. The reason that he does that, according to many opinions, rather than going to the other Beis HaMikdash, is because he realizes that only, remember, the Machlus Beis David, a descendant of David HaMelech, can sit in the Beis HaMikdash. Yerovam and Rehoboam will be there together. Rehoboam will be sitting, Yerovam will be standing. People say, who's the real king? That's what leads him to open up a breakaway Beis HaMikdash, which is a bad thing, by Beis HaMikdashes. And that's what, and not only that, but he sets up guards to stop people from, in the time of Alila Regel, to go to the real Beis HaMikdash, but to go there instead. So again, so this law, which we learn out of this pasuk, historically has great ramifications, and eventually one could point to it as the reason that the 10 tribes are lost. Because there's the break, they go into Gaulus first, maybe they come back, maybe they don't. So that's an interesting point, and it's learned out of this pasuk by David sitting down. I noticed today, and I added it, there's a Medrash Tehillim which actually disagrees with this. The Medrash Tehillim points to this. Amar Rav Ami, Afal Malchus Beis David, Ein Lohem Yeshiva Ba'azara. He says it's not true. No one can sit in the courtyard of the Beis Mikdash, not even Malchus Beis David. Mava Yeshiva Lefnei Hashem. But it says here he sat in front of God, and he sat in the presence of God. Shesavach Atzvo, Omi Haisa Yeshiva Ba'azara, Vehechal Havi Omar Lechoin Godom. So now, they sat down, meaning that he leaned, but he didn't actually sit. Only a Kohen Gadol could sit in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. As a Shnema Ve'eli Kohen Yoshev Alakise. Im came by Yoshev Lefnei Hashem, but there's Yoshev here also. To Yoshev Atzvo B'tfila. Yoshev doesn't mean he sat, but rather it means that he was concentrating, sitting in prayer, means that he was praying intently, but it does not mean he was physically sitting. That is an interesting minority opinion. We generally assume that Malchus Beis David can sit in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. And in fact, historically, they did when? There was once every so often when they used to do it. And that was at the time of Hakel, correct. The time of Hakel, they would set up a temporary grandstand, much like the one that's been in Dot for the last week and a half now. And the first class seating section, and the Malchus, the Malchus would sit there and read the Torah.
I don't understand why this is an issue with David, since there isn't a Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but there's a Mokom HaMikdash.
Ah, okay.
Even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. Right, that's one approach. The other approach is that, why can't you sit in the Beis HaMikdash? Because that is the presence of the Shekhinah. Here too, Lifnei Hashem indicates that he was in the presence of the Shekhinah.
Okay.
And did they know where it was?
What?
When did they know where the Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be?
Later on. Actually, no. Earlier. Sorry. The tradition has it, the Gemara tells us, that David and Shmuel spent one night in its entirety studying and figuring out the riddle of where the Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be. That was before this. David was aware of it.
Was it a secret where Avram sacrifices?
Yes.
Yitzhak?
It was a secret. We had lost it. The word ad halom is also used in the Gemara as a drasha. It says, Vayomer lo Boaz le'esa ochel geshi halom. Boaz says to Rus at the time of the meals, geshi halom, come here. The word halom is not commonly used. What is it indicating? Amar v'lazer, remez romoz lo. He was dropping a hint. Asid machos be'davod le'tzeis mimech, that the house of David is going to come out of you. Ksiv be halom, because it says there halom as well. Where should Neamar? This pasuk. Vayomer melech Dov Yeshov Ne Hashem Vayom Mi Anochi Adoni Hashem Umi Besi Kiye Besi Ad Halom. So again, the use of the word halom here, it seems related to the use of the word halom previously in Rus, an indication to Rus that this was going to happen eventually. At this point, David HaMelech makes says over a prayer, a very moving prayer, and we'll read through it and get to the end of the parak, as it's not getting any earlier. Vatiktan od zosvenacha adonoi Elohim vatidaber gam el beis avdechom el merachok vzos torasa odom adonoi Elohim. And here I am, small in your eyes, and still you are so good to me. The word zos torasa odom, there's a lot of drushes on that. Worth noting, one that's a particular note, which I was debating with putting here. The Medrash comments in several places, and this is a proof text towards it, specifically the fact that the Torah was given to man, it wasn't given to angels. That it's not that we are human and therefore we do not deserve the Torah, but rather because we are human, we get the Torah. The famous story of Moshe Rabbeinu going up to get the Torah, the angels thought that would be improper for man to take it, right? Man would violate the Torah, angels would not violate the Torah, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, no, answer them, and he says, it says, honor your mother and father. You people have parents that I'm unaware of, etc., etc. Discussing the fact that, no, it's because we are people, we get the Torah. It says, the Gemara mentions in several places that on all holidays you have an option of either to spend the day totally either Lachem or Lashem, meaning that you can spend the day feeling good and celebrating the holiday, or the day, spend the day in shul, etc., dedicating it to learning, to prayer, in service of God. The Gemara famously comments, Pesachim Beitza, that Kulam Modnin B'Ba'atzeres B'Ina Nami Lachem, that on the holiday of Shavuos, you do not have the option of fasting and staying in the service of God all day. Why not? You think, getting the Torah, this is a time where we should be raising ourselves to the highest level, and the answer is no. We get the Torah because we're human, because we eat. That is the reason we get it. So Zos Torah Adam. We get the Torah because we are Adam. Let's move on. Pasukhov, Uma Yosef David Ola Dabera Elecha Vatoya Datis Avdacha Adonoy Elohim. What more can I say? God, you are all knowing. This was just beyond, it's because of your greatness that you told me all this. Because God, you are greater than anything we have ever heard about you. Hagdula v'noros la'artzacha b'nei amcha asher padisalacha b'mitzrayim goyim ve'lav. Nana, you're great, but your nation is the greatest of nations. Interesting note, the Gemara in Brachos, all the way in the beginning, you just make it through the first week of Daf Yomi, you'll have done this Gemara. It says that God wears tefillin. Just like man wears tefillin, God wears tefillin. So what does it say inside of God's tefillin? Obviously, this isn't literal. God doesn't have a head. To wear tefillin, you need a head. No head, no tefillin. a talk about if a person's unfortunately missing an arm or arms, you can still wear the tefillin shel rosh, even though you're not going to have a tefillin shel yad. So the question is, what if a person's missing a head? Can you just put on the shel yad? What do you think? Right. So, how long can a person live, can a chicken live after you decapitate it? Or what was someone arguing? So Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rav Chia Bar Avin Hani Tefillin Demari the Alma Ma Kosebu, the Tefillin of God. What does it say there? Amalei Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goyach Alaretz. When we wear our Tefillin, we praise God. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We refer to the fact that God is one. And when God reads his tefillin, he refers to us as singular. Mimka amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. There is a connection between us and God. And in these two pesukim, you see this. First, David praises God. Then he praises God's nation in a similar way.
Why do we take out the
ha? What? It
says mimka amcha Yisrael.
Good question. I don't know. Chav David, v'atechonein l'cho es amcho Yisrael, l'cho v'am adolam, v'ato adonai yisul lehem le'olim. And your people, I, the king, speaking as their representative, say that they accept you forever, and you will be our Lord. V'ato adonai lehem adavar sher dibarta al avdecha v'al beisa kem adolam v'asei kasher dibarta. And we pray to you that you do everything that you promised. Why do we have to pray? God promised it. Okay, one answer is ishtadlus. There's a question as to whether God can back out on his word if we no longer deserve it. God, we know, sometimes can back out on his word. What's an example of God says something and he backed out?
Wanted to destroy the world, and then
they decided. Right, Yonah. Yep. So there were definitely cases where God says, I'm going to do it. People, circumstances change. Right? Outcomes change. There's a famous machokes, whether that applies only to something bad, because something bad changed to good. But something good has to remain good. In the case, there was nothing to talk about. Or something bad can change to good, and something good can change to bad the same way if the circumstances change. If that, according to those opinions, you can understand this. The Ran, I'll just mention in passing, has a very interesting point in the Drushas HaRan, that there has to be something that doesn't change. Because if there's not something that can't change, you can never have an Avi Sheker. Because I can get up here and I can stand there and I can say, the Rockies are going to win the World Series, and then if it doesn't happen, I can just turn around and say, well, because the people of Colorado sinned. Had they gone on their proper way, it would have gone straight. There has to be something that's not changeable. So one opinion, according to the opinion that says that even a good Nevuah is changeable, then there'll have to be certain subcategories that are not changeable. Because if everything is changeable, then you can never have a Navi Sheker. Interesting point.
And this week's parsha, last week's parsha, Moshe is worried about God, you know, Shevet God, Reuven, Chatzin, Shevet, Nasha, that maybe Hashem is not going to bring them in because they're going to sin again like the Moroccan. Hashem said that he will bring them in, right? This door, after the door is time, he's going to bring them in. So.
Well, the question is,
about
to what extent is he worried, or is this an argument he's making to them? Mm-hmm. Right? And the argument, you know, we got to be together here. Because we weren't together previously, and it didn't work out well. So that might not happen, but the equivalent thereof still can. Chavav vayigdal shimcha adolam leimor adonoi tzvos elohim al Yisrael ubeis avdecha davi yenachal lefanecha. And you say that my dice is going to move on. Ki ato Adonai Tzvos Elohei Yisrael Golisa es ozen avdecha leimor bayis evne loch al kein motza avdecha es libo lispavel elecha as the tefillah does. You said that it's going to be built. I sing out your praises for that. So again, David clearly does not take it personally that he's not the one that's going to do it. He's just happy that the Beis Midrash will get built not this generation, next generation, for that he is eternally grateful. V'ato Adonai Elohim, ato hu Elohim, u'dvarcha yu emes, v'tadaber el avdecha es atova azos, v'ato uvarech es beis avdecha liyos v'olam lefanecha, ki ato Adonai Elohim, dibartum yivir chosla, yivarech es beis avdecha liyolam. Again, David ends off by declaring how everything God says is true. For that reason, he is exceedingly grateful, and the blessing of God will last as a blessing forever and ever. And so goes Parak Zion. Thank you. Thursday night,
should we do it?
Same bath time?